You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
We're going to continue in our series, As For Me and My House. This is a family series based on a declaration from Joshua, who was a leader in the Old Testament for God's people, and he made the statement, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the goal of this series is to come alongside families and for this to be uplifting, not to add a burden to you. And the goal is for each of us, 100%, not one of us exempt, that we would resolve to serve the Lord with our lives. Now, I've been reflecting a lot in this season about family. For Jessica and for me, we are in a new season of life, a new stage, and I was thinking about it. There's a lot of people here that probably don't know who our family is. And so I'd like to show a quick picture. This is Jessica and me in the middle. There we are. There we're scrunched in the middle. That's Jessica. Next Sunday is our anniversary, 29 years married. And then on the left-hand side is Reagan, our daughter, and then her husband Josiah. They got married last May 19th, so tomorrow is their one-year anniversary, and they are living in Morocco. They are global workers reaching unreached people groups in northern Africa with the Arab world. And then on the right-hand side is my son Logan and then his fiance Hannah, and they are about less than 2 weeks away from being married themselves. And it's an exciting time in our family, and so we wanted to just introduce them to you. I realized that as we were talking about this family series, really, the genesis goes all the way back to last summer when we were on sabbatical, Jessica. I wanted to do something between Mother's Day and Father's Day for families and just to be an encouragement. And my mind was like Family Matters, and we've done some Family Matters series in the past, but as we were preaching through the armor of God, when we got to the helmet of salvation, I talked about our thoughts and our dreams and how our minds are so important, and how sometimes we need to have a mantra to live by to remind us who we are. And you might remember I shared the story that my dad, when he got married, he stood up at his wedding and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How many remember that? I shared that a few weeks ago. And then I shared the same story at my wedding, at our wedding. I stood up and said the same thing. And then I was thinking, oh my goodness, we're just a couple weeks away from Logan getting married. And I didn't want him to feel the pressure of saying, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So I grabbed him and Hannah, and I said, "Hey, I'm about to launch in the series. We've decided, Pastor Bobby and I, that we're going to call it As For Me and My House and use it as a catalyst, but no pressure." And Hannah goes, "Oh, no, we've already talked about it. Logan was planning to do that anyway." And I was like, "Oh, good." So he had heard the story, and it's continuing on another generation. So, but I've mentioned, I've been reflecting, Jessica and I, we've been reflecting, like, what did we do right in parenting? What did we do wrong in parenting over these last 25 years? And I want to come and launch from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, give a little context, and then we'll give you kind of where we're headed today. It says this, it says, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord," pause there for a second, saying, well, that's kind of weird. Well, when you look at Joshua chapter 24 in its entirety, Joshua is nearing the end of his life. He gathers the people, God's people, to renew the covenant between God and the people. He reminds them for the first 13 to 14 chapters or verses, all of the things God has done. There's been some ups and downs, but God has been faithful. And then in verse 14, he says this. He says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors worshipped, and they live beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. He's saying that, and then he goes in and he says, okay, but if you refuse to serve the Lord. So it gives a little context there. And then he says, then choose today whom you will serve. He gives them a choice. It's Joshua's final speech. He draws a line in the sand and he says, you have a choice. Your family has a choice. And then he goes on to say, he says, would you prefer the gods of your ancestors that they served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you now live? And then he says, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It was a bold statement. And though others may turn to false gods, Joshua makes this declaration. He and his household will remain faithful to Yahweh God, to the Lord Almighty. And you might read a sentence like that and think about even, you know, standing up in a wedding and saying, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And you say, well, that sounds pretty easy, right? Well, absolutely not. Last week, we talked about mothers and the fact that there's a lot of pressure around mom. Today, we want to focus on parenting, but there's something here for every single one of us. Just like with moms that feel the pressure, parents, moms, and dads, single moms and dads, they feel the pressure to be perfect in this day and age. Put yourself in my shoes. My kids are PKs. Do you know what PKs are? Pastor's kids. And I think it's, you know, all the more difficult because our lives, it's like we're living in a fishbowl, people looking in and wondering how things are going. And the problem is, not only with your family, but my family as well, is there are no perfect parents. All the kids are like, yeah, amen. That's a good place to say amen. Let's try that one more time. There are no perfect parents, and all the youth say, all right, hey, whoa, all right, back off, all right. But parents, your turn is coming up. Not only are there no perfect parents, there are no perfect kids. Amen. Whoa, I know, I'm sorry. Only a perfect God who can help us. You say, well, why? Yeah, amen to that. Why is that? Well, it's free will. And we're not going to discuss free will this morning, but each and every one of us has a choice whether we'll serve God or not. And there are a lot of examples in the Bible. We don't have time to discuss it today. I took a rabbit hole, and I thought we were going to discuss it, but there are so many examples of parents that were godly, and their kids were godly, and their kids were godly, but there are equal amounts that the parents were godly, and then the next generation turned away, and they're serving false gods. And maybe as a couple generations before they came back to the Lord. But for Joshua, he makes this public declaration for his household direction. But the truth is, he could not control his kids' choices. And why is that? It's because we all have a sin nature. There's no guarantee. Proverbs 22:15 says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness. All the parents in the room, you know this. When your kids come of age, there is a lot of foolishness, and our faith cannot be passed on. It cannot be inherited. We cannot believe for our kids or our spouse or any other family or friend. Salvation is personal. And parents, as beautiful as parenting is, it also, we know, can be chaotic, very humbling, and often very messy. Parenting is not easy. There are major challenges. In today's day and age, there's things like secularism that we have to face, moral relativism, media and entertainment. I read an article this week about the difference between digital discipleship versus digital distractions. And they talked about technology overload, screen time from influencers, YouTubers, TikTokers, people on X. And they said that screen time competes with spiritual formation. That's a fact. We are experiencing that. And so you say, how do you do it if there's no perfect parent, no perfect kids? Well, today we want to look quickly at three keys to raising godly kids. where your kids will say, as for me and myself and my house and my future, I'll serve the Lord. And then at the end, we have a little stick of dynamite that's important, but we'll get there. Let's start. Number one, that you need to have some consistency. Parents, I get it. We've been there. We're empty nesters now, which is just a different stage of parenting, equally difficult. But especially when you have young kids, it's easy to get tired, to get worn down. And the result, if you're not careful, is you don't follow through or you don't have consequences for bad behavior. And I would just say to all the parents, stop it. And the result, some of us have kids like Eddie Haskell, and the older generation knows this, that your kids are sneaky, and they will convince you after their bad behavior that they can just get away with it. And we got to say, stop it. Or if you ever wanted your kid to be your friend, and so you're a little lax on the discipline, stop it. We need consistency. Kids need consistency. And yes, we need a lot of love, but we also, parents, need a lot of follow through. Consistency is so key, and especially when it comes to your child's faith. Moses, who was leading the children of Israel, this is before Joshua, generations before, he said something similar in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. And look at verse 7. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. Again and again and again. There's consistency built in. Right? Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. The point here is that we are parents to model faith. We don't just preach about it. Kids are watching and they will catch more than they are taught. And we've got to be careful that we are consistent ourselves. Our consistency in our character absolutely matters. It speaks louder than our corrections. We can correct our kids all day long, but if we are not people of character ourselves, if our integrity is lacking, our kids will pick up on it. And when it comes to faith with our kids, if church, if prayer, if God's word are optional for you, then these things will become potentially irrelevant for your kids, for the next generation. You don't have to be flashy, but you need to be steady. And I've been thinking about it. Jessica and I, when our kids were young, we had patterns where we would pray with our kids at night. And it was just, I was thinking about it. I talked with Reagan this week. I talked with Logan. I've got some stories for both. But I was thinking, Jessica, how much fun could we go back to the days when we would tuck Reagan in, and she had a little black African-American doll that she loved and named Clancy, and it's rag bear now, or is that threadbare now. I mean, barely hanging on. But we would pray for Reagan, and then Clancy would pray. We would have her, like, we would pretend Reagan would be Clancy, and Reagan would pray as if she's Clancy, and then we'd tuck her in and say goodnight. Memory. just indulge me for a second. And it's so funny. Fast forward 20 years, 15 years, whatever, Reagan is heading out on her honeymoon, and Jessica slipped Clancy in the wedding honeymoon suitcase and put a little note and said, you didn't think you're going on your honeymoon without me, did you? I love it, Clancy. And with Logan, equally fun, we would tuck him in, and we would, and I don't know if it's because of the Monster Inc.'s movies or what, but we would tuck him in, do our prayers, and then we'd turn off the light. We would kind of walk away, but then we'd come back, we'd flip it back on and say, final check one, and we kind of all look around. Turn the light off, we'd walk away, come back, final check two, and then after that, he was all right. We turned the light off, and he slept good. We closed the door, and no monsters were coming after him. And just fun memories, but being consistent in those things, those were good memories we'll always have. If you're not consistent, you're inconsistent. And with your faith modeling, what is that called? Hypocrisy, isn't it? I ran across a study from Barna Research Group, a group that studies churches and people, and it said 50% of kids raised in church will drift from or abandon their faith in their teens and in their 20s. That's tragic. That's the importance of a college ministry like Crew or like Chi Alpha. We support a lot of missionaries that way. But you say, well, why is that? Well, kids that struggle with intellectual doubt, moral conflict with Christian teaching. This study said that it was peer and cultural pressure or a lack of personal experience with God, which I thought was very interesting. Our kids need to experience the presence of God. But what was also noted was hypocrisy in the church. In fact, it was highlighted. And I would just say we're focusing on parents today, moms and dads, acting one way at church and Monday through Saturday living a different direction. You know, you can fool a lot of people here on Sunday morning. You can look pretty good, like you've got it together. That is a fact. But your kids will sniff you out the rest of your week if there's inconsistency. And so the goal is to raise godly kids. And that fruit comes with consistency in your own faith being passed down. It starts with consistency. That's number one. Number two is you need to be present. Our presence really matters for you to be there. And I mean to really be there. To talk with your kids. To play games with your kids. Turn off the noise. Leave your work at home. Or at work. Leave your work at work. Don't bring it home, excuse me. And put down the phone. Every generation, though. I was thinking, oh, it's harder today. Every generation had an escape, didn't they? Go back a couple generations. What were dads known for? Reading the paper. It's the same thing. They were escaping and missing what was happening in the room oftentimes. Parents, we need to be present. Deuteronomy 6, again, back to what Moses was saying. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands. Repeat them again and again to your children. And then look, you have to be present to talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. And so don't underestimate a mealtime prayer or a bedtime prayer or a drive time prayer. These are not moments just to discard. These are holy moments, holy ground. And consistency is not enough. You say, well, I'm consistent, but if you're not present, if you are letting the distractions of the world keep you away from really investing in your kids, you are missing it. In a world full of distractions, your presence is powerfully spiritual for your kids. I believe many kids equate God's love with their parents' availability. And so I want you just to note that you don't have to know all the answers. You just need to show up. Share your stories. Be real. And if there are questions that your kids ask that you don't know, that's why you have a Bobby Hill in your life. That's what we did. We sent our kids to Bobby and said, I don't know, Pastor Bobby, he's probably got a good answer for that. But most of all, don't be a hypocrite. Own your own mistakes. It's okay to be wrong once in a while. And when your kids screw up or they're hurting in some way, what do your kids need? Our kids need a godly mom or a godly dad. They need our time. This week, I mentioned I called Reagan. I asked her to give me a call. And Reagan, her growing up years early on, it was like easy. She was easy. Elementary was like picture perfect. Friends at school, all the things. She was always good at school. But junior high and high school were not easy. Permission from Reagan to share. She struggled. She talked about with me, and she gave me permission. I said, is there anything you've shared today that you don't want me to share? She said, no, go ahead. She had some hard times. She was lonely a lot. She had a lot of friends in elementary. I remember her fifth or no, it would have been her 10-year-old birthday. Like, we had this huge party, friends from school, friends from church, and then junior high came, and it's like all of her friends scattered like cockroaches, mainly because she took a stand for her faith, and they're like, I don't know. But anyway, it was tough. She experienced some depression in her growing up years. And then she said, she reminded me that when she got to college, it was like redemption. She decided that she wanted to go to North Central. We prayed about it together, and it was the right move. And when she got to North Central, it was like redemption. She's like, Dad, Mom, these are my people. And she really thrived there. We're grateful. But Reagan said this last week. She said, in the big emotional moments of her life. And how many students, we'll be honest, you've had some big emotional moments? Some of you even recently, right? Parents, we're exhausted often. Jessica and I, we committed in those seasons to stay up late, work to the midnight hour. We would let Reagan cry it out. And for me, I always had a little trick. I would come into her room, whether she liked it or not. She would not let me sit on her bed for some weird reason. It was off limits for me. But I would lay on the floor, oftentimes falling asleep because I was so exhausted. And she hated it then, she said. But now as she looks back, she loved it. And she's like, thanks for doing that. The point is you need to be present. Parents, be the biggest influencer in your kids' lives. Don't let someone else do it. And let me just say, parents, there are some grandparents raising kids, or some of you are teachers. You can be this for a kid that doesn't have a parent, or pastors or mentors. We need to be consistent. We need to show up. We need to be present. And then third, we need to focus on discipleship. And not just discipleship. I put intentional discipleship. Pointing kids to Jesus, not just to good behavior, not just to good academics, not to just be good on the field or in their favorite sport. We need to point kids, our students, to Jesus. We are not raising rule followers, parents. We are raising Jesus followers. Again, I go back to Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands. Repeat them. There's a consistency again and again. Talk about them. So you got to show up. You got to be present. And listen, when you talk about them, when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up, the point is this is describing intentional discipleship making. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Just point them to Jesus regularly. And when you're in junior high and high school and all those questions start coming, and kids will have questions, embrace those questions, be patient, give your kids a safe place or a safe space for those hard questions. And I'll just say one other thing in regards to your kids' friends, be careful who you allow your kids to hang out with. Show me the closest five friends of anybody, adults included, and I'll show you your future. And so you got to be careful. Reagan mentioned on that note that we were careful with her friends and careful with who she could sleep over with or hang out with, and she remembered that. But really, on this point of intentional discipleship, Logan gave me permission. I asked him to share, and he said no. And I said, well, then can I share some of your, you know, troubles that he had? And he's like, Dad, you've already shared all my troubles from the pulpit. I said, touche, fair enough. But he said, hey, what if you talked about, and I told him the message and kind of where I was headed. He said, what if you talked about our big year? And I don't think I've talked about that from the pulpit. I've talked with a lot of people individually about it. But the big year came about for Logan and me, his senior year of high school. A friend of mine, the year before, Brandon Deal. I was at a network council meeting, kind of like we were just a couple weeks ago, and he's like, we're catching up, talking about our families, and he's like, hey, have you read the book Play the Man, Mark Batterson? I'm like, no. He's like, I'll send you a copy, and so he did. And so I read this book, and Mark Batterson talks about when his kids turned 13, his boys, he did like a year of discipleship with his boys, and it was intense. There was physical challenge, spiritual challenge, emotional challenge. There was intellectual challenge, all these things. And it was kind of a year-long program. And I'm thinking, oh, man, 13. Logan's now 16, going on 17. And I said, forget it. I said, we're going to do it now. We talked with Logan, and he's like, all right, I'm in. And so what we did is for 1 year, we met face-to-face for 30 minutes every single week, tried to every single week. We read through the New Testament together. We had a spiritual challenge. We read 6 books together. There was an intellectual challenge. And then the year culminated with a physical challenge up in Canada, a 78-kilometer hike around Killarney that literally almost killed me. And Logan did great. I can't even explain all the tragedy that I had. I should have a picture for that. Both of my heels were ripped open. Now I got to tell the story. Real quick. The first day out before we took off for the trip, we had a day to just kind of acclimate. We took a little hike, and the bottom of my sole of my shoe, or my hiking boot, came off completely. I'm like, what in the world? And so we had to go to an outfitter. There's only one place. They had only one pair of boots at 14s that were my size, and so I had no choice. And how many know a hiking boot needs some time to break in? Well, I had six or seven days on the trail, and my heels raw, like, I mean, it was like a millimeter deep, like layer upon layer just gone. And I didn't wear shoes. Remember that, Pastor Sean? I would work out at CrossFit with no shoes on. That was miserable. But anyway, what were we talking about? I don't know. The big year. Oh, yeah. And so Logan, he had some trouble. Listen, just because our kids grew up in a pastor's home. Brandon, you can relate to this, right? You were in a pastor's home growing up. Our kids were not perfect. And Logan was far from perfect. And he struggled at times. But after this big year, it changed our relationship. I can't even thank the Lord enough for that prompting from Brandon and the prompting to do that big year. And next, not this Saturday, but the next, Logan has asked me to be his best man in his wedding. And I'll promise you, it is an honor to do so, to stand, to give him away in that way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, bring up your children with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Parents, you're not going to get it right all the time, but you better be intentional about raising your kids in the fear of the Lord. Consistency. Being present, showing up, and that intentional discipleship will give you a chance. And now for the dynamite, right? This series called As For Me and My House. You say, well, how did Joshua do? How did his family do? Well, Joshua 24:31, at the very end of the book of Joshua, it says, the people of Israel, so that's who Joshua was responsible for, served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And for the elders who outlived him, those who had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. The point is that in the face of culture full of idolatry and lots of choices similar to ours, we have lots of things we can put our attention to, Joshua's generation and the next generation remained faithful to Yahweh. You say, how do you do that? Yes, you're consistent, you're present, you're intentional, right? But there's no guaranteed success. Every generation must choose for themselves. Their faith, they have to make it their own. It's not inherited. And so we need some power behind these keys, these initiatives, and that power is prayer. Everyone say prayer. Prayer is powerful, but it doesn't override free will. true, right? Your kids will make their own choices, but we still need to pray. We started praying for our kids right after conception. We prayed while our kids were in Jessica's belly, and it never stopped. We prayed for their mates. We prayed for their future. We prayed along the way. When you say, why? Well, because James 5:16 is true, that the earnest prayer of a righteous parent has a great power and produces wonderful results. You are not always going to get it right, but you always can pray. You need to fight for your kids on your knees in prayer. It works. Pray like your kids' lives matter, like it depends on it, because it does. And this is where I just want to highlight Jessica. I said, Jessica, I want you to stand and do a turn. And she said, absolutely not. So she just says, stay seated. But I will tell you, Jessica has modeled this in our family. Reagan mentioned it, Logan mentioned it, both of them mentioned Jessica's consistency, spending time. And I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit would put something in Jessica's heart, she'd bring it to my attention, and then I would execute on it. That's kind of how it worked a lot of times. There was one time Logan was really struggling, and Jessica said, you need to spend more time with him. And I did, and I canceled all my morning meetings and started doing devotions. I drove him to school, and we would sit at breakfast together, and I think I've shared this before, but where, and this is what Logan's like, you've shared this before, but literally, we would sit at breakfast, and at first, he was hard-hearted, did not like it at all. I would do a devotion, I'd slide it over to him, whether he wanted to read it or not, didn't matter, and then I would take him to school, and I'd pray for him, and it took months for him to take that devotion and read it, but things started to change. But that came from a Holy Spirit prompting. I canceled all my morning meetings. I stopped working out in the mornings at that season, and the Lord honored that Holy Spirit prompting. There's a couch in our upstairs that I never want to get rid of to Jessica's demise. She's like, man, we could use new furniture. But she has worn out a place in our couch where it's super soft and super like indented, where she has sat and she has prayed. She's prayed for you. She's prayed for our church. She's prayed for me, but she's prayed for our kids. And she's prayed for missionaries. She just goes through the list. She's a great example. And I just say, parents, if you're looking for an example, look to Jessica. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you put the time in. And you don't just be consistent and show up and be intentional. You pray like you've never prayed before. And the way we want to end today's service is giving you an opportunity for the parents in the room, for the grandparents in the room, for teachers in the room, for mentors that you're saying, hey, I'm a spiritual parent to a son or daughter. If you've got a spiritual son or daughter, we want to do that. I'm going to ask the team to come, and I want you just to be ready to respond. We don't always bring people forward to the altar, and I know for some it may be uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask us all to stand. And if you are a parent, a young parent in the room, you determine what that means. I want you to come, and I want you just to come to the altar. If you've got kids in kids' church or younger, I want you to come, and I want you to just kind of be here at the altar. So that includes you guys. I want you to participate, lead the way. If you've got kids in youth group, so junior high, high school, I want you to come next, and I want you to come, and I want you to find a spot. All right? If you've got kids like Jessica and I, we are empty nesters. Whether your kids have moved out or not, I want you to come, and I want you to come as well. If you're a single parent, if you are doing this on your own, I want you to come. And if you are a grandparent in the room and you say, all right, yeah, that's me. Or if you are a spiritual parent, you've got some sons and daughters that you are caring for, I want you to come if you're willing. And this is what I want us to do. I want us just to spend a few moments praying for our kids. And the reality is, our kids are facing things today that they didn't when they were toddlers, but we still pray. And we intercede. And so whatever your kids are facing, we want to bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, would you do a mighty work in our kids' lives? And so right where you are, just begin to pray right where you are. Call out your kids' names. Let the Lord know that you need his help, that power comes from prayer, and you're tapping in to Holy Spirit dynamite. And Lord, for those that are in the room that haven't moved, I just want to encourage you to pray for these families, pray for these parents. Maybe your parents step forward, pray for them. They need it. They need Holy Spirit wisdom. They need strength to be consistent. They need the ability, when they're exhausted, to show up late nights, to be not exhausted, but to give the extra hour, to burn the candle at both ends and still be present, to still work and to provide, but to be there, to give their time. Lord, we pray for every parent here, Lord, that they would take their discipleship personally, that they would make it their own first, and then be intentional with their sons and daughters, that they would pass it on. They would have the resolve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And God, when it's hard, we lean on you. We lean into your presence. We lean into your power. God, I pray for single parents that are doing it on their own. Lord, I pray for strength, supernatural. God, I pray for others to come alongside, to hold up the hands of that single mom or that single dad. God, I pray, Lord, where there's been hurt in a family, there's brokenness. Lord, I pray that there would be healing. And Lord, I pray right now for those that came forward that are praying for sons and daughters that are away from you. We call that prodigal sons and daughters. Lord, I pray that the example, the consistency, and just the love that we have for our kids would break through. And I pray that sons and daughters will come home. Lord, that prodigals would come home and find you once again. Lord, I pray these things. Lord, safeguard our hearts and our families, Lord. And Lord, we declare together, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For everyone in the room, I just want you to say that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, say it together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One more time. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together.
Yes, Jesus, we just thank you. Father, we thank you. And Lord, I know that we don't always get it right, whether we're spiritual parents like I am or literal parents, Lord, and we just thank you that your grace is enough. And Lord, I just pray you would just pour your grace out on all the parents here, all the spiritual parents, Lord, anyone who is a mentor or a coach or in a place of influence over others, Lord, we just thank you that we know that we don't get it right. We fail time and time again, but yet your grace is enough. And Lord, I pray for any parent that's holding on to something, maybe something they did wrong, something they could have done better, Lord, I just pray that your forgiveness and your grace would just fall on them right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you're always welcoming, that you're always pursuing, that you are kind and gracious and merciful. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, just help us follow your example in the way that we lead others, in the way that parents here raise their kids or grandparents raise their grandchildren, Lord. And, Lord, we need you. We need your spirit. And so, Lord, we welcome your spirit into every area of our lives. Not just here on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday as well, that we would be people empowered by your spirit in our workplaces, but also in our home as well. Lord, and help us to be intentional and to be prayerful and to be consistent, Lord. and to be present like you're present with us, Lord. And we thank you that your presence is with us as we leave this place, that it will be before us, behind us, and all around us as we go, empowered by you. In Jesus' name we all pray. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Go in God's grace, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.